It's Friday, January 22nd, 2010, and welcome to episode 104 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom. Well, it's been about a month since we've recorded our last podcast, so I'd like to welcome everyone to Tech Talk for Teachers and wish everyone a Happy New Year. Over the past month, a lot of things have gone on here at the ITC, and we've updated many computers. I've updated probably close to 100 and reinstalled operating systems and have the computer labs here ready to go for the teachers and students, so we're in pretty good shape. Took a lot of work, but I think we're in good shape. Last week was our first full week of school, the beginning of the semester, and it was just, crazy. Like it typically is that time. I had intended to record a podcast last week, but that just didn't happen. We were doing a lot of updates and faculty and students coming and getting things set. So today I have in the studio my graduate assistant. I have Tasin here with us, and Tasin is a graduate student from India. She's worked in the ITC for about a year. And I guess this is your first experience with podcasting, isn't it, Tasin?
Oh, yes, it is.
Okay. I wanted to invite you and kind of get an international flavor. I don't know if you know it or not, but we have listeners from all over the world, and we do have a few from India.
Yeah. Oh, I see. That's great.
So it would be real interesting if you're listening to this from India, if you'd send an email to us and just like to have some correspondence. And the email address is techtalk@eiu.edu, and I'll provide a link in the show notes for that. But mm-hmm. I think it'd be kind of neat if we heard from some listeners in India.
Yes, it would be, definitely.
Now, over break, you had a chance. You actually went back to India.
Yes, I did.
So how was that?
It was great. I went back after like 2 years, and there were a lot of changes that I saw.
What kind of changes?
Well, one being inflation, that was a big one because everything, the prices have doubled up for food and other services and everything. And then the service, the traffic on the road, it has increased a lot.
A lot more cars?
Yes, a lot more cars. And I also spotted the Tata Nano. I didn't see it as much as I heard about it when I was here, but I was able to spot just one of them.
Yeah, they're going to be producing in the United States too, aren't they?
Yes, I heard about it, but I did not hear very good reviews about it, like from the people back there, because they were like, it's a very small car. And
right, in America, we're used to the larger cars.
The larger cars, yeah. So I think it's meant to be running on the Mumbai streets.
Yeah. And then for our listeners out there, we should say that Mumbai. And that's formerly Bombay, correct?
Yes, it's formerly Bombay. I think it changed about like 10 to 11 years ago to Mumbai.
Okay, how long a plane ride was it from here to India?
It was really long. it can be as short as 15 hours if it would be a direct flight from Chicago. But mine was like it took me almost a day to reach Bombay because of a halt and everything. But actually, I think total flying time when I went there was for like 17 or 18 hours.
And did you stop over like in London or?
Yes, I stopped over while going.
Okay, that always happens right in the middle of things. You know how it is around here. We get interrupted 100 times. So it's a wonder we ever get anything done around here.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So we were talking about the plane ride.
Oh, yes. So while going back to Bombay, my first stop was at Delhi, and it was like for about 6 or 7 hours. That was overnight.
So where did you leave from here? Chicago?
Yes, I went from Chicago. Chicago to Delhi and from Delhi to Mumbai.
Oh, wow. So you really didn't have a layover then?
Yeah, I did have a layover at Delhi.
At Delhi, yeah. But I mean, halfway in between, because you were pretty close to home when you landed to Delhi.
Yes, pretty close. But when I was coming back, I went, I think, around the world. I went to Kuwait, and then I went to London, and then the stop was at Chicago.
Did you get a stop? Or were you just airport stops? Were you visiting Kuwait?
No, I wasn't visiting Kuwait. They were just airport stops, yeah.
Do you know how many miles it is between here? We're in Charleston, Illinois here. Do you know how many miles it is back to?
Back? A lot, I guess.
I'm going to look at Wolfram Alpha. Have I shown you Wolfram Alpha before?
No, I have not, yeah.
Okay, Wolfram Alpha, this is it's called a computational search engine, but you can type questions in here. Okay. And it's meant more for science, mathematics, and engineering. Okay. But it's a different type of search engine than Google. Oh. So I typed in earlier Mumbai. I typed in, how far is it from Charleston, Illinois to Mumbai, India? Mm-hmm. And this is a result. And I don't know if this is accurate or not. It says it's 8,228 miles.
Wow.
Aircraft at 550 miles per hour, it will take you 15 hours, which is what you said.
Yeah.
sound at the speed of sound. Like if we shot a gun, you know, and if you could hear it in Mumbai,
yeah.
If we shot it right now, it would take 10 hours and 50 minutes for somebody to hear that in Mumbai at the speed of sound. Mm-hmm. And then it gives light and fiber. Now, India is heavily connected, you know, with fiber optic cable and things like that. 61.9 milliseconds speed of light.
Wow.
Yeah. Don't you wish that plane fly could be like that?
They can be as short as that.
Yeah,
sure.
And it gives you a map here. Yeah. And now, I don't know, do you know if you went over the Arctic? I have no idea your route and things.
Yes, I think I did go over the Arctic, yeah.
Yeah, and then coming down through there. So there's your flight path.
Yeah, we went all through. I think it was a lot of Russia when we were reaching home.
Uh-huh.
And I think before that it was like Greenland. I'm not sure.
Right, here's Greenland.
Places. Yeah.
Yeah, and then flying over Russia and through there.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. It says it's a fraction of the Earth's circumference. You went a third of the way around the circumference of the Earth.
Wow.
So that's kind of neat.
Yes, it is.
But it's just kind of fun to go out there and... Now, tell me if this is correct, because it gives you current and local times.
Uh-huh.
In Charleston, Illinois, right now, as we record this, it's 11:08 a.m.
Yeah.
And in Mumbai, it's 10:38 p.m.
10:38, 11:08.
It's about 11. It's about 11 hours difference.
That's right. That's right. 11 and a half.
So this Wolfram Alpha tool will give you answers like that, and it's really neat. I do a lot of podcastings and things now internationally, and I always double check my time zones here.
Yeah.
Because we did one, you know, last month we did one with Hawaii, and we did London, England, and just like you figure out, you know, how many time zones away you are, and Wolfram Alpha gives you that. I'll provide a link to this query for our listeners out there. You can go out there and play around. Wolfram Alpha is one of those former technology picks of the week out there that I'd really like teachers to start using a little bit more. So it's been 2 years since you've been back home.
Yes.
But you talk to your parents and friends and things via Skype a lot?
Yes, I use Skype a lot to talk with like my parents and my friends and everybody. So it's really good because it helps me stay connected. And it's and the voice clarity is really good. It's as clear as I'm talking on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you go back and see people in person and things, does it feel like you really missed a beat with? I mean, there's a lot different seeing them in.
I think it would be so if I did not speak them as often. But then I'm pretty much in touch with my parents. Like I speak to them every week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. Yeah, there are some things which you cannot explain over the phone and everything. But other than that, it's pretty good. Like it helps us stay connected, and you know we can share a lot of things and movies and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's really good.
Now the culture and things, movie wise and things back there, and while you're here, while you're here in the States, I mean, what type of shows do you watch? Internet television and watch some of the India?
Yes, I do. I do a lot of watching. Movies online and everything, because there are so many sites now for like Indians who are over here in America, and so that's how, like, you know, sometimes I think I'm more updated than the people back there in India.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I watch a movie earlier than they have watched over there. It also depends on how much time I have, but I'm quite amazed by the how internet makes like things accessible to us. And I can't imagine, like, if I were to come here in the 80s and I did not have internet, it would be a very different feeling for me then, because it's a lot of change to handle.
Well, you'd feel cut off and be homesick. And, but that communication, really. Do you use Facebook or any of the other social networking tools? Or
yes, I was not into social networking about like 8 months ago, and I recently got into it. And I think since I have got my account and everything, I'm so amazed, because I met like my school friends after 16 years. Yeah. And like I went back home in December and I met up with them. So I was seeing them after 15, 16 years, and we are all grown up now. So we were really very thankful to Facebook that we could all meet up.
Yeah. Now your friends back then in high school, how many were in your high school classes and things?
Oh, we were like
similar?
An overcrowded class, because it's India and our population. I think when we passed out my batch in 10th standard, we were about more than 100 students in my batch.
Wow.
So it could be 120 or 140, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were that many.
Now, when you went home this last time over the semester break, what were the internet connection speeds compared to what you experience here? Oh. And I'm sure it varies from place to place, from locale.
Yes, because I remember, like, because I used to work in Bombay, and the speed at office was really good. But the speed that I have at home is from a local provider, a local phone provider in Bombay called MTNL. It's a LAN, first of all. Like, we are yet to see the wireless routers at home. So we are connected using a LAN cable, and that too isn't very good. Like, it disconnects very often. It is quite slow. Like, it's difficult to have voice over IP connections. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when you find a better connection, it's easier, but it's not consistent.
Yeah. Well, that's true here. Yeah. You know, when I go home, my home access isn't anything like this. So, okay. Yeah, and when you Skype with your parents, do you do video too, or is it just audio? How's our connection speed?
I do audio. I'm sorry.
Yeah, audio only.
Yeah. I try avoid. I don't have a webcam in my laptop, so I try avoid that. They use a laptop, but usually, like, the image that appears, it's static. Mm-hmm. It doesn't move very well. So
yeah,
we have those difficulties. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you helped me a lot around here, and hopefully you've learned a few things as we through here.
Yes, definitely.
You know, one of the things that's a challenge for me, and you helped me out a lot with that, is just the volume of things that we have to do around here. Mm-hmm. And we're currently doing a lot of imaging and things, which, you know, that greatly speeds up things. One of the things I think I need to do for a future episode is talk a little bit about how we're deploying some of those images.
Images, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, this weekend I came in and did that one lab upstairs, 20 machines, and, you know, it takes about 20 minutes per machine, but you can have multiple machines going. But that's a lot better than 2 or 3 hours, you know, starting from scratch.
Yes, definitely.
And then this podcasting, and I have a couple of K-12 teachers asking me a lot of questions now about podcasting. And since, you know, this is kind of new to you here, I'll take you through the post-production here, because I record this and then in Audacity, and then we do some of the editing and things that we do. So I'll show you that after we finish up here. This is working out, you know, really well, and I'm trying to do one, possibly two podcasts a month. So like I said, it's been about a month since I've did the last one. For those of you out there listening, I would really like for you to, send an email and let us know where you're listening from. And if you have any questions, send them in, because I'm trying to make this a little more interactive. I get a lot of questions here on a day-to-day basis. And if you have anything to contribute or share some of the things that you're doing, you know, please send those in. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up here. Anything else you want to add?
Yes, I did my MBA, and now I am doing some technology courses, networking, and website development. I just had a class right now, and we were talking about data types in PHP. And the last programming language that I learned in my engineering days was C++. But I am quite surprised at how you can relate. If you know one programming language, it's easier for you to learn the other.
Right.
Because there are similarity, and of course there are differences. But I think it's an easy way to understand if you have some background.
Right. It's a lot easier to adapt. Yeah. You know, if you understand C++, that's probably a lot more complicated than some of the things that you were doing in PHP.
Oh, okay.
Because they use a lot of libraries and things in the C++. Yeah. So.
That's a relief.
Yeah. I think you'll be fine.
Yeah. Thank you.
We'll go ahead and wrap it up. I want to thank Tasin for coming in, and I'll show you some things here as soon as we stop recording. Mm-hmm. And thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
My technology pick of the week this week is a report that is hot off the presses, and I always assign this report to my pre-service teachers as a required reading. The name of this report is the Horizon Report 2010, and a link is available in the show notes. This free report was released last week by the New Media Consortium and the EDUCAUSE Learning Initiative, and provides a look into the future by projecting current technology trends out to 5 years and discusses their relevance to learning. The report discusses mobile computing, open content, e-books, simple augmented reality, gesture-based computing, and visual data analysis. This report has many examples of how up-and-coming technologies are being used inside and outside the classroom to benefit the learning experience. The report is only 40 pages long and is well worth a read, so be sure to check it out. That wraps it up for episode 104 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at www.eiu.edu/idc. To leave a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom. Keep on learning.